This episode is brought to you by Google Gemini. With the Gemini app, you can talk live and have a real-time conversation with an AI assistant. It's great for all kinds of things, like if you want to practice for an upcoming interview, ask for advice on things to do in a new city, or brainstorm creative ideas. And by the way, this script was actually read by Gemini. Download the Gemini app for iOS and Android today. Must be 18 plus to use Gemini Live.
Candace Lim, and you're listening to ICYMI. In case you missed it, Slate's podcast about internet culture. And friends, this is our last episode of the year. It's been an interesting year online, to say the least. And so today we are going to commemorate the things we want to leave behind. And helping me with this task is Teen Vogue Associate Editor, Ayana Ishmael. Hello, Ayana.
Hey.
Also joining us is culture reporter, Moises Mendez II. Hello, Moises.
Hi, Candace. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. Now, friend of the pod, are we ready to get into the worst things we saw this year?
Very much so. I was just saying this is my second time doing this hater episode, and this is my sport. It's my Super Bowl.
Now, before we get to the bad, I actually would like to start off with the good and ask, what is a trend or tweet or something you saw online this year that actually made you happy, that you actually would not mind keeping? I guess, Ayana, I'll go to you first.
Oh, this is hard. I don't want to say she's necessarily a trend, and it's very recent, but British rapper C-China just like released a second song. And yes, she dropped a song last year and like disappeared, but she just dropped a song recently.
I told you, man, I was gonna quit and you tried to get rid of me.
And it's become a TikTok sound trend. It's taking over the entire world. And honestly, that is the perfect way we need to end this year. I think the last couple of months have been rough. So she really has put a smile on my face.
Feeling like 36 Mafia, I'm gonna fill up his nose with dust. These niggas are always talking, tell them niggas I ain't gonna fuck.
That's my girl. Like, okay, I love that kind of rap.
Can you talk a little bit about Peggy? Like, what is the song about? What does it bring out in you? Talk to me.
Honestly, it makes me want to dance, and I haven't wanted to dance in a long time. We've been sad girls the past couple of months. It's been rough.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's this fun like dance vibe that she brings, and also there's a confusion because I think everyone also is like, I love that she's in a bikini in the wintertime in London, always. Like, my girl is never not in a bikini that is, like, two sizes too small and, like, having the time of her life bouncing around London. I think that's the vibe we all need to be on in 2025. And I also think people really just love rap that is, like, so unabashedly, like, man-hater.
Yes.
Like, honestly, we need it. Like, sometimes you just really want to sing a song that is just dissing a man. Like, we all have one in our head. It doesn't even have to be all men. It's just, there's always one that you're like, this song is for them. So I feel like that's what she brings out in everyone.
So that's a good one. Moises, what about you? What's something that made you happy this year?
The one thing that I saw that I will constantly reference, I'll always talk about, brings me joy every time I see it, is Caleb Heron talking about the Cooper story. Cooper story is the best thing that's ever happened on the internet. And for people who don't know, it's basically him with Drew Afualo and Brittany Broski talking about how when he had like pajama day at school one time in high school, he like encountered this guy named Cooper who he wanted to be friends with. And he wanted to know what cologne Cooper was wearing. And Cooper did not want to talk about it. So he just like kept pushing him away and being like, and then, you know, as they're talking, like Brittany and Drew are just like jumping in with their own jokes. And it's just like, they're crying, laughing, and I'm crying, laughing. And every time I see it and it comes on my For You page, it immediately brings me joy. Like, and then now it's become like its own thing too, where like people will reference it in like TikTok jokes and stuff like that. Like, there's like that new trend right now with Bach where he's just like, Nessa, hey, yes, Nessa.
Yes.
And then someone just was like, Cooper, hey, Cooper. And that just like actually makes me so happy every single time. So I love that Caleb Heron is now getting his moment because he is one of the funniest people I've ever encountered in my whole life. adore him.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so funny. Caleb and this specific Cooper story has now come up at least 3 times on the show in the past like 2 months. Because it's monoculture. I have to believe mm-hmm. that Caleb Heron is monoculture. He is also a stand-up comedian. So guys, should we go mm-hmm. to his show next year? Should we rally the troops?
I need to go see him live because he's incredible.
For me, I guess the trend I'd like to see going into the next year is, I'm curious, do you guys think that Brat, the album, will still like be used in a million fan cams next year?
Hmm. Well, it's going to be remixed a bunch. Like, there's always going to be some like new song that's going to get like remixed with, or someone's going to put it to something new. So I think so.
Yeah, it's like, I think Charlie has found her image and her sound like full-fledged. I was just talking about this, how the hair theory and how celebrities don't pop off until they have the right hair. And I think she's found her look. She's found her moment. And I think she's going to stick with this. So I think Brat and that whole like ethos is going to exist for at least another year.
Wait, I'm crying. Can you tell me more about hair theory?
Hair makes a superstar. Like, you have to have the right hair. You know how people, there actually was funny because people on TikTok were getting confused. I don't know, because she popped off. Now they're trying to change their mind. But like with Chapel Roan, she used to have like a very strawberry blonde hair color.
Sure.
And then she went this bright red, and that's when she blew up. Same thing with Sabrina. She let her natural hair exist. And then she decided, let me get that wig. Let me put that wig on my head. And
oh, so it's a wig.
She got the bomb. I think it's a wig. It's a halo wig. It's a halo wig, 100%. Okay. And her hairstyle is going to say something different, but like, I think it's a halo wig. And it looks amazing, but when she added that bombshell and the bang, then all of a sudden she popped off. Hair makes a superstar, and it's very important. So I think, you know, I was just talking about her style, Charlie's style, because y'all remember when she had that really blunt bang, and she was like,
for the Charlie album, the self-titled one.
That just wasn't, and so she's finally found her look. So I think it's sticking.
Wow, it's sticky. Ayana, oh my God, blowing minds. And also, if I may, have you guys seen Night Bitch yet?
Oh, no.
Okay, hair theory applies because Amy Adams, we know her, we love her. She's not actually a redhead. Did you know that? She's like a little more on the blondie, like strawberry blonde side. And what happened is she said that she dyed her hair red, and all of a sudden she's getting book, Oscar. On top of that, guys, Amy Adams today is 50 years old. Who knew that?
Not at all.
I didn't know that at all.
One thing after another. You're just blowing my mind right now, Candace. This is crazy.
I know. I'm like Wikipedia. I'm worse than AI. Anyway.
I love people who have just like random pop culture knowledge, because it's also me. I just know the most random shit.
I know. Oh, okay. That was really inspirational. Thank you guys both so much. Those are the things we loved. But I think it's time to take a break. Because when we come back, Ayana, Moises, and I are going to complain about the internet trends that need to end. We'll be right back. It's always fun to dive into the latest rumors, like who's dating who and who will be on the next season of our favorite show. Well, here's one rumor to squash: the idea that Discover isn't widely accepted. Truth is, Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. That means it's accepted basically anywhere across the country. Don't pay attention to every rumor out there. But remember, it does pay to Discover, based on the February 2024 Nielsen report. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. It's always fun to dive into the latest rumors, like who's dating who and who will be on the next season of our favorite show. Well, here's one rumor to squash: the idea that Discover isn't widely accepted. Truth is, Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. That means it's accepted basically anywhere across the country. Don't pay attention to every rumor out there. But remember, it does pay to Discover, based on the February 2024 Nielsen report. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Hey, listeners. Hope you're enjoying today's show. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. We are thrilled to have you here. In case you missed it, our show comes out twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So make sure you never miss an episode like this past Wednesdays when we brought back one of my favorite stories from this year when Risa Tisa unleashed a 52-part TikTok series called Who the F Did I Marry? And we're back. I am here with Ayanna Ishmael and Moises Mendez II. So, this episode is mainly haterade. Like, we're about to list all the things we saw online this year and talk about the ones we like to banish. And I say we start with things that we're, like, low, medium mad about, and then we escalate to, like, die. Moises, how about you go first? What is something you would like to say goodbye to from this year's timeline?
All right, well, I think the first thing I want to really never see again, and I'm kind of over it, but like sort of small over it, is lookalike competitions. Sorry, maybe this is not a safe space, but you know, I am kind of just over it because I thought they were fun at first. The Timothée Chalamet lookalike competition was fun and quirky, and it was like cute to just like see for the first time, and it blew up into this bigger thing because the flyers were posted all around like New York City and they were like, oh, we're just gonna have this thing. And I thought it was one of those just like weird, like nobody really knows about this sort of thing. And then it became this gigantic like event that even Timothy himself went to, and that was like a fun little thing. But then it started to just like pop up more and more where there was like a Zayn Malik lookalike competition. There was the Paul Mescal. There was Glenn Powell. There was Dev Patel. There was Bach. There was the United Healthcare shooter. Like, I was like, all right, guys, now we're doing too much. Because one, these people are delusional. You don't look like this person. All right.
Oh,
the one that
God.
I am sort of upset that I didn't go to was a Jason Kelsey lookalike competition.
Oh, I'm like, about that,
yeah. Hey, do I love a big burly man? Yes, I do. And I'm trying to find me one of those. All right. But I think that the thing that pisses me off the most about it is that the people who win do not look like these people. If that's what we're here to do, why are we not doing that? You know, like, who's judging these competitions? Put me in, because I'm a tough critic. As we are aware, I'm a hater. So I will snatch that crown away and give it to the rightful owner. All right. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. Okay. Say that. Because look, let's just say it right now. The best competitions in this world are judged by a panel, RuPaul. When we talk about popular vote, did you see the election? And did you see that time on American Idol when they chose David Cook over David Archuleta? We don't, that anymore. Mm-mm, we can't.
No. No, it's funny that you said that, Moises, because that literally was mine as well. Like, we are on the same,
we're
on
connected.
The same
brain.
Like,
wow.
We're here. Yeah. Because, like Moises said, I fully went to the Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest, one for work, one for pleasure, because as most people know, I am the Timothée stan.
That's
there
true.
Is no
That's
one
true.
Stronger than me. I've been there since he won Young Arts in 2013. We
That's
go
right.
way
oh,
back.
That's right.
Baby. So I was there for two reasons. And then I even covered the next day right after I spoke to the lookalike that got arrested by NYPD.
Yes, I do remember that. Oh my God, I was on the scene.
Chaotic.
I know.
And so I feel like same reason as Moises, like I appreciated what the Timothée Chalamet lookalike contest was because it was thoroughly planned out. Like creator, Anthony Poe, or it's like Ant Poe on Instagram, he, like, in his team, like, thorough, security, check. Like, they had everything, second location for when they
That's
got
right.
shut down.
That's right.
They were really prepared. Everyone else that has followed suit, you have, like, four people entering. You have 12 people watching. Mm-mm. You have no prize. Like, there's no actual, like, you didn't plan this. You thought it was cute when they did it once and you wanted to recreate it. But if you're going to do it, put your whole everything into it. That's my biggest beef with it. All these lookalike competitions, I'm like, these are
myths. Trophy? Yeah.
Exactly.
Where's the
$50? Where's the 6-foot trophy? If you're going to do something, do it right. So I think we need to leave those in 2024 because nobody is putting in the effort that the original people put in to do this lookalike competition. And you're not even having the turnout. Like, I think the Bach one had like 12 people show up. The Bach one. Like,
yes, the Bach one is so crazy. Okay.
Can I just ask, is it Bach like the guy from Wicked, or is it Bach like B-A-C-H, Sebastian?
Oh, I'm screaming. No, it's Hey Nessa. Hey Nessa Bach.
Yes, Hey Nessa Bach. Okay, guys,
Mr. SpongeBob.
I'm so excited that like I had these feelings because I was so scared that Ayana was not going to agree with me because I know you're a Timothy fan, so I was just like, oh my god, I don't know how I'm feeling about this, but that I'm glad we're on the same page.
Can I say this, and please tell me if I'm right or wrong? I think there were only two good versions of this event: the original Timothy Chalamet and Jeremy Allen White, because the guy ended up being like a therapist, and I think there was an angle there of like, look at that. But everything else, trash.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna hold you. I think the only second best one was the Jason Kelsey one, because those men that showed up, they looked like allegedly Jason Kelsey showed up. And ESPN posted a video of Jason with all the lookalikes. I couldn't tell you which one was Jason.
See, like, that's a good competition right there.
Like, they looked more like Jason than Jason did. Like, the Timothy one was funny because Timmy showed up and, like, it was the first. But none of those boys really looked like Timothy. But the Jason Kelsey one, I said, oh, who is Jason?
That's actually so tea. I just love a big burly man. So, listen. I'm trying to, let's do another one. Let's do another one in my
Jason
apartment.
Jason Kelsey lookalike contest, location, Moises' bedroom.
Yes.
Prize, Moises.
Hey, I'm the judge. And honestly, yes. I was just talking about this because my friends, every year, they do a lip sync competition where all of our friends just like get together and they like lip sync and there's a whole battle. My roommate won last year. She got the crown, whole thing. And this year they're like going to do it bigger and better. And I was like, I will be a judge. Because one, I'm very Law Roach on RuPaul's Drag Race coded.
Right.
Like, I will give commentary, I will give critiques that are, you know, well thought out, but also like, you know, so when it comes to the lookalike competitions, I'm there. Like, I'm locked in. I know what these people look like. And I will not be nice if I need to be, you know?
This was good. We needed to have this moment and we were holding space. So let's move on to the next internet trend we'd like to leave behind in 2024. Moises.
I'm cracking my knuckles because I'm ready to dive into this one. I think I always say this, but YouTuber comebacks was something I said in 2022, and the person I called out was Shane Dawson.
Sure.
But this year, I kind of want to give it to Jeffree Star, specifically for, I think, the way that he is highlighting an issue among YouTubers that are trying to make it in the TikTok space, especially beauty creators, because like we talked about in the Bi Sister video episode that we did, Jeffree Star is a very interesting person in this space, but he's highlighting this issue of like creators, specifically white creators, who are very self-centered when it comes to calling out, I guess, problems within the beauty creator space. Because there are a lot of other creators, especially Black creators, like Gloria, Naima Tang, and Ivana Sunshine, who are calling out brands for, you know, not being inclusive or not having a wide enough shade range or not including or like tokenizing creators. But Jeffree is going around and just being very negative towards people like Michaela, who he feels are, you know, hyping up products that don't deserve it. He was rude to like Hailey Bieber's Rhode skincare and like said that her stuff was trash and like threw it in the trash, and it's just like very in your face about, you know, not liking things. And I just feel like that's counterintuitive to what the beauty creator space is for, because it's just so negative. I'm like, if you have a problem with a product or like a product line or something, like you can critique something, but you don't have to call them trash or just like, you know, yell at other creators and being like, well, you're getting paid off to do this and blah, blah, blah. And just like intentionally starting to start drama, because I'm not saying that drama should not exist in this space, because for one, I enjoy watching it and it is always something that there's something that's going to happen no matter what. But I just feel like there are creators who are doing better work that should be platformed and be given the space to like thrive. Like, my favorite creator is obviously Monet McMichael. Like, that is my girl down. Right. I watch all of her vlogs. I watch all of her videos. I just think that, like, people who are really doing something to expand and, you know, just talk more positively about this space deserve a bigger platform than someone who is just trying to tear down creators while propping themselves up.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
No, absolutely. I agree. The beauty industry and the influencer culture is so toxic lately. And I feel like everyone thinks they can like get a couple extra like views and clicks off of like trying to be a jerk all the time. And it's like, that's not going to actually make you more popular, babes.
Exactly. I think that's just, you know, how creators who came up in this space, like in the early 2010s, they had to like, you know, just really fight for a space when I think a lot of people are now forgetting that, you know, we'll see what happens in January with TikTok, which it's not looking good for them. But, you know, on TikTok, there's a lot more space for more creators. Whereas on YouTube, it was just like people were trying to, you know, knock each other out of the game and being like, I'm the one that you should follow and I'm the person that, you know, you should listen to. But now it's just a mess. And
yeah,
we've talked about it on the Bi Sister episode. But I think that, you know, there are some people that deserve more.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, Ayana, what is something you would like to leave behind this year?
Okay, y'all, stay with me. But, you know, this year started off really strong with my girl, Risa Tisa. Okay. In that, who the heck did I marry 7,500 part video? And honestly, I sat there and watched every single video. She did her job. But I think what we need to leave behind is the 75,000 part video series, because once again, I don't know if it's my Virgo rising, but the execution is lacking. People, they're trying to do a 75 part Risa Tisa, what happened to my world, and they can't tell a story. People, not everyone is skilled enough to tell a story. And that is what we need to become more self-aware. Some people are not good at storytelling.
Correct.
The same way some people aren't good at popcorn reading in elementary school. There are things you are not great at. There are things you're not good at. You have to own your skills. Like, I am so big on, I am the most self-aware person. I know my strengths. Like I said, I was in theater. I cannot sing to save my life. I was never going for the lead because I knew my strengths. I was going to be a dancer. I was going to be in the front for my choreography skills because I knew I could move my body, but I knew I couldn't sing. Mm-hmm. So why would I go up for a role? There are people in my high school class that were going up for roles for singing and they knew they couldn't sing. It's like the self-awareness. And so for me, I am tired of scrolling because sometimes I am nosy. I am a journalist. I want to know what's trending. So I want to hear the drama that could potentially be a story I write about. But if you have a 37 part story and I'm struggling to get through the first two videos, it doesn't matter anymore. I'm over it. Even if I put it in 2x speed and I'm still struggling to listen to you, that's a problem. So I think people need to use that 10 minute marker and 3 max. I'll sit there for 3 videos, but I'm not scrolling 75 back and forth trying to find the one that I missed when you can't tell a story. Use the 10 minute marker on TikTok. I think we'll get a lot further with your storytelling in that way. But I've had beef because the girls don't know how to tell stories these days.
Yep. The 10 minute TikTok stories and like 50 parts are now becoming like soapboxes for people. And I'm like, please step off. Like, just let someone else tell it. Like the, what was it? Brooke Schofields and her ex-boyfriend, what is it, Clinton Kane? And oh my God, I had to watch those goddamn videos over and over and over. And then I was like, someone else just recap it for me, please. Because I cannot watch these people talk. Because there were so many like small details that they're just like not like necessary for the story. And I'm like Ayana said, you can't tell a story well. Like, let's just like keep it to one, like 10, maybe 2 10-minute videos. I'll give you that. 3, you're being generous. I could not. I'm not saying there for half an hour watching these people talk about nothing. And then there was like their own like 16 parts, I think, on Brooke's part. And then Clinton came out with his and it was like 20 parts and they were 10 minutes each. And he was like, well, I wasn't lying about this and blah, blah, blah. And this and that. Girl, nobody cares. Hey, you lied about your mom being dead. Nobody cares. You don't have a foot to stand on because you lied about your mom being dead.
He's exactly.
Like, no, I was talking about a mother figure. No, you lied about your mom. Sorry.
Okay, I first off cannot get over Ayana's drive-by of popcorn reading. Like, wow!
It's true. No one fight me. I promise. I'm all for the girls, you know, getting better at things. But like
the millennial pause.
Or the reading with your finger. Some of us have to do that, all right? Some of us have to do that.
Yep.
But now we're journalists.
And then I'll say this, which is, I have one word for everyone who was tempted to make a 52-part series and sell it to Natasha Rothwell, which is the word reshoots, because raise your hand, how many of you in this room have re-recorded a voice memo?
Yeah.
I see every hand up. I see every hand up. Every hand. It's okay to reshoot. It is okay to reshoot. All right. I am having so much fun with you guys, but we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear everyone's number one trend, meme, or moment that absolutely deserves to be banished from the internet forever. Did you hear? All Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, no retail stores or salespeople. They deliver premium phone plans directly to you. Look, I've been on the hunt for a second phone because my New Year's resolution is to get a little more balance between my work and my life. So I recently tried out Mint Mobile, and I have to say it was probably the easiest setup experience I've ever had. Use your own phone with any plan and bring your phone number along with your contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ICYMI. That's mintmobile.com/ICYMI. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today? Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. And that's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies, so you can save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You can get the most important meal of the day any time of day. I'm talking about the $5 Big Deal breakfast meal from Jack in the Box. Available all day and all night. A breakfast Jack with a freshly cracked egg, a hash brown, and French toast sticks for $5. Sounds good for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. At Jack, every bite's a big deal. Order Jack's $5 Big Deal breakfast meal now.
And we're back. Okay, now it is time for our last and final thing that needs to die in 2024. Moises, bring it home. What is it?
Okay, well, I think there are so many things this year that really pissed me off, but the one thing that I have been inundated with and that I want to see so much less, never again if possible, is the Hawk Tua girl. I don't care about her. Sure. I don't really know anything about her. And all of what I know is against my will. Sure. But I think more in general, like, I don't want to be inundated with creators who got too big of a platform for really small, dumb memes. Like Hawk Tua, that does not mean Miss Demure, Miss Jules LeBron, love her down. Like, that's my girl. And she deserves all her flowers and the partnerships and everything that she gets. But someone who is cosplaying as a journalist on their podcast called Talk To It, which is low-key a funny name for a podcast, but just not a good interviewer, just not interesting at all. And I guess just, like, maybe the thing that I want to never see again that I know will continue to prosper as long as we live in the United States of America is white mediocrity getting a platform. But, you know, we're going to continue seeing it no matter what, especially going into whatever the hell this next 4 years is going to become. But I think that there are so many other people that deserve bigger platforms and that are so much more interesting and fun to listen to. Like, I don't mind, like, you know, creators getting a podcast. Like, Drew Afualo, great interviewer, very funny, knows how to talk to someone. But there are so many podcasts that I, like, you know, just happen to drive by that I'm just like, girl, why do you have a podcast? And who is this person on with you? Like, they're just not fun or interesting. And then also we've turned to find out that creators like the Hawk Tuba girl, you know, make a cryptocurrency that ends up like tanking and stealing money from people. And I'm just like, there's too many of these creators, hey, usually white people, that end up becoming bad people because they get either milkshake ducked or they do something that they think is, you know, good, but don't really do all their research. And then they end up screwing over their fans, and then it becomes this whole big drama, and it's just too much. I'm like, I like my fun little creators. Most of them are people of color and queer, so maybe there's a trend there, but you know, some of them I'm just like, girls, we need to stop. I don't want to talk to her anymore.
Ayan, any thoughts about Hawktua?
Honestly, no thoughts, because like Moises said, everything I know about that woman is against my will. I don't wish the worst on her, but I don't need to see the best either. Mm-hmm. Like, I think somewhere back to obscurity is totally okay. I know she quit that job, that good, stable job she had back at home, but I think I don't need any of it. I feel that way about half the creators that do that one little bit thing.
Yeah. That's so real. Okay, I'm going to go next. I would like people to stop posting their dating app screenshot conversations. Guys, what do we think so far before I go on? Okay,
you just ate me up.
Gagged. Is this a good one, or do you guys not agree?
No, why am I in it?
It's a great one. You just ate me up, though.
Okay, so here's the deal. I think that right now, dating apps are clearly in a deficit. They're kind of becoming so mainstream that, like, they're not fun anymore. We need something counterculture. In fact, what's so counterculture? Meeting someone at Trader Joe's. And the thing with dating app screenshots is I think that, like, at first, people would take, like, screenshots of funny things people would say to them on dating apps that were, like, kind of quirky and weird, but they were kind of harmless. And then it started becoming like, hey, here's, like, genuinely racist, homophobic things that people have said to me. And it's like, whoa, this is wild. And by the way, at this point, they always, like, scratch out the name of the person or the profile that said it to them. There's kind of this anonymity. So the question is, like, are you actually calling them out, or are you seeing this as content? And now we're in a place where sometimes people post screenshots of really innocent things, of people just being like, hey, I love that photo you had. Where'd you get that? And they'll be like, oh, can you believe this person said this to me? And it's like, actually, I can. And the point that I decided to fall off the cliff is when I saw someone on Twitter post a Hinge screenshot. And it's like a photo of them with Michael Imperioli from The White Lotus, Sopranos. And the person who wanted to date them, they liked the photo, and in the caption, the little message, they wrote, oh my God, Bill Nye the Science Guy. And I said, okay, see.
Hey, shut up.
Okay, see, shut up. Because then I was like, unfortunately, a year ago, I would have made that mistake. I would have been like, oh my God, that's Bill Nye the Science Guy. And then I would have become a meme on Twitter. And I just wonder, like, do you guys think that this culture of, like, publicizing dating app convos, do you think it, like, sometimes hinders people from, like, being kind of vulnerable, or like saying the thing that they know is a good line, but they don't want to come off a certain way?
100%. We see that all the time too, especially even with just like guys like sending heart eyes on pictures, like, and then girls like, and it's like, it's so, I'm not, when I say this, I'm not dissing women at all, because I, one thing, I'm a man hater for life, but like, there's girls that have never gotten attention, and so if one guy gives them attention, they like turn to like the biggest mean girl in the world, and they're like, he told me I'm pretty, I already know. Well, like, someone could tell me I'm pretty every day and I wouldn't feel the need to like roast them on the internet, because I get told I'm pretty all the time. And so
it's a little pick me-ish, right?
Exactly. And it's a very weird energy that we're seeing, especially because those girls end up going viral on like TikTok or like wherever they post it on Instagram too. And then it just is like, well, now you guys are making it like men never forget like the seventh grade girl that hurt them. Mm-hmm. So you think like now they're never gonna like ask anyone out on a date because you guys are roasting them for thinking you're pretty. And it's like, they already aren't healed. So why are we making it worse?
I know.
Men are in the trenches, girl. And I just think that like, I've had this conversation with my friends too, where dating has become so ickified, where like, if you just do like one small move, or you say something that like, you know, maybe is as like not even that crazy. You're just like, well, I like pizza. And they're like, ugh, he told me that he likes pizza. Have you like, I'm like, what the fuck? But yeah, I'm just like, it's become so hard to date anyone now because like you're always looking for that ick. And I'm just like, all right, I know we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And like, you know, there's always this like, you know, lifting of the veil and the, you know, all these other things where it's just like, just date someone. It's fine. But I think on the other hand of like, you know, sharing screenshots from dating profiles is especially within the queer community and with men on Grindr, that is quite literally one of the worst places to be online ever at all. It sucks. And like you said, there's like racist, homophobic, like homophobia on Grindr, who would think, fat phobic comments that are made. And there's just so many things where it's like, you know, you're warning other people, don't talk to these people, or, you know, just avoid these sorts of conversations online, because we're all there for one thing, and that's to date someone. And, you know, I think if someone is showing you who they are over a message is better than, you know, finding out in person.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for validating me. I guess it's time for Ayana. You have our last one. Our last thing that needs to die this year. What is it?
Bring us home.
I'm nervous because I don't know how you're going to feel, because I know, Candace, you mentioned earlier about your doom scrolling of it.
Oh.
But I do 100% think we need to defund the NYC influencer snark Reddit page. It needs to never be seen again.
Yes, someone
that loves to gossip, loves to hate influencers, loves to discuss the weird things that influencers do, I have never met a more jobless group of people in my life than the people that run those pages. I thought I didn't like people I didn't like things, but sometimes I'll like log in. I was like, oh, let me, because again, journalist, I'm looking to see if there's anything that's being discussed, anything I should be thinking about, like looking into. Why one time I saw someone be like, why, look at TK influencer posting at the gym. Who does she think she is working out?
What?
I had to close the app and say, thank gosh, I'm not this much of a hater. I think it is healthy to be a hater. The only way we survive as a society is to be a hater. But this, touch grass and like like you can't be this without a job. Like it literally, it sometimes makes me feel insane. I'm like, you're mad because this girl lost weight? Like, who cares? Like, there's reasons to be snarky to influencers. Trust me and believe there are a million reasons. But the things that they're nitpicking at on this Reddit page makes me feel like, where do y'all live? Like, I'm scared. Like, please, are these people on the streets?
Yeah. I mean, that raises the question, like, is it just the New York City influencers snark subreddit that you don't like, or just all snark subreddits? Because there are, like, I was following the, well, I still follow the Colleen Ballinger snark subreddit.
Oh.
I don't follow it just to keep tabs on it. It's just, like, the one thing I follow on Reddit. But I just see the things that people were commenting on, and, like, granted, Colleen Ballinger has done a lot of terrible things, but I'm just like, all right, girls, she just has her kids. Leave her alone. And she does, she collects rocks now. I don't know. Who gives a shit? Like, just let her go about her life. But the snark subreddits, like you said, jobless behavior. People need to be stopped. Take the phone away, please and thank you, because it's terrifying. People are so weird.
Oh my God. And just for context, basically before the taping, I was telling Ayana and Moises that I would really like to stop scrolling the NYC influencer snark page in the new year. And this is a page where basically any influencer who has touched the tri-state area, if they post something, it could be innocuous, it could actually be harmful to society. People will screenshot it, put it on the Reddit page, and just write something like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this. This is anti-FTC. I don't care. There is this weird, like, toxic sludge feeling I get every time I, like, scroll through five posts. Because usually, even if I don't know who the person is, I guess we're now at a place where, like, the negativity that at one point people were like, oh, the reason we have the snark page is to keep them accountable, to keep influencers accountable for their actions and the harmful eating disorder content they make. Now I'm in a place where I'm kind of like, I don't know who is having a worse time, the influencers they talk about or the people posting. What do you guys think?
Oh, it's definitely the people posting because they've lost the plot. Like, the plot was to keep influencers accountable and, like, you know, try and lift that veil of authenticity that these creators are saying that they're having online. But there are some influencer snark subreddits that are doing good work, like the Duggar snark subreddit. I talked to the creators there. They are just, I think, really smart and they know what they're talking about. But some people, like the Kardashian snark subreddits, or especially when it has to do with like mommy bloggers or anyone that has children, I see where some of them are coming from, but some of them are a little too harsh. And also just like in general, Reddit is a terrifying place to be. I don't like Reddit. I don't scroll on it. I go on for 2 seconds and I go, I'm scared. I'm going to leave now. And then I leave and I go back to TikTok.
Oh, that's like actually kind of where I'm at too with Reddit, where like I do check it pretty much every day. And to be fair, guys, I'm just going on like Bob's Burgers subreddit to talk about the latest episode because it made me cry. But I actually sometimes wonder, like, do I go to Reddit because I think that the people there are smarter than me, or is it because I want people to come down to my level? I don't know.
I feel like I think it's also just community, you know, where you're just like, I want to talk to people who like this thing. Like, I'm trying to get into podcast subreddits because I need someone to talk to about Normal Gossip because it is my favorite podcast ever. And I want to be on it so bad. Like, I love that show.
Oh, my God. But wait, we can make that call, Moises.
I know. I'm excited. But yeah, I have been trying to get into the podcasting subreddits. So, and the Scam Goddess subreddit.
I love Lacey. Okay. So, Ayana, that's a really good one. We are now kind of gearing towards the end of the episode, but before we go, look, I think we are all down to grow a little bit in 2025. Maybe we want to be better internet culture reporters, or maybe we want to be better influencers. Therefore, I want to ask, guys, what are your New Year's internet resolutions for 2025? Ayana, I'll go to you first.
Ooh, this is hard because the internet and me, we're in a battle right now. I'm trying to decide where I want to sit online. So somewhere like safely in between, like I want to post more content, but like I also want to be less online. So finding a way to like not wake up at 6 a.m. every day and doom scroll for 45 minutes. But also, like, now that I'm in my little workout bag and I want to start training for the Spartan race, like, I want to start posting more content about, like, my world and my life. So that's my goal, is to find a nice medium where I'm not doom scrolling as much, but I am, like, posting my little 2 videos a day like the girls are doing.
Yeah.
Oh, Ayana's in her influencer bag. I love her little TikTok videos. They're so cute.
I mean, Ayana, if I could, I give you some unsolicited advice for the 45 minutes wake up TikTok thing. Do you have like a TV in your bedroom?
I don't.
Okay, so buy a TV and
okay, and watch Bob's Burgers.
Honestly, okay, so first off, buy a TV, 65 inches, and buy a TV, and I want you to go to your local Circuit City, Best Buy, whatever, and buy an antenna, and you plug the antenna in, and I think what you should do is wake up, watch the news.
Girl, now why would I want to watch the news? That shit is so depressing.
Because
bad.
No, okay, hear me out. First off, I really support local news channels. So like your NBC affiliate, your Spectrum, honestly, shout out Spectrum. Mm. I love that News One team. The thing is, what I sometimes do is like when I wake up and it's like cold outside, but I'm warm inside and I'm like, oh, I don't want to like brain rot by going to TikTok, but I need to wake up and at least like have motivation to survive today. I like turn on the TV and I get kind of in the loop of like, oh, this is what's going on current events, but it's not the most current update of the current events. So at least I'm like, okay, maybe Savannah Guthrie is up and therefore I should also be up, and then boom, there you go.
Okay. That is so funny. You're just like, don't doom scroll on TikTok or Twitter about the news. Go to the news network, like CNN, and watch all the terrible things that happen there.
Yes. Guys, Hoda doesn't have that much longer. Hoda doesn't have that much longer on the Today Show. Support her.
hey,
anyway,
love Hoda. That's my girl.
I love Hoda down, so I will be supporting.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, Moises, mm-hmm. What about you? What is your internet resolution for 2025?
When I did this last time, I said that I wanted to care less when I was trying to post more online and, you know, not be so, like, curated and thinking too much when it comes to posting content, and I did not do that, so we're not going to try that again. I think the thing that I'm going to do is try to consume more content that is easier on the mind, because I've just been, like, so anxious, like, this past year, and a lot of shit has happened, so I just want to, like, consume content where it's just, like, I love, like, the coloring TikToks, if you guys have seen those.
Oh,
like,
yeah, I have.
There's this one woman, the freshly baked coloring sessions, where she's like, oh, am I cute and comfy girl moments by Coco Wayo. And I'm like, oh, love when she says that. So it's just, like, them painting, like, these cute little scenes, whatever. It's adorable. Because I just, like, I need something to just, like, not make my brain feel like an absolute bag of mush in my head. And I need it to just be massaged with really nice things. But I also have to be cognizant that the next 4 years of a Trump presidency are going to be inundated with terrible things happening all the time. And every day I'm on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter, there's going to be some tweet about Trump is trying to privatize the United States Postal Service, which is a thing that just happened. And then Hassan Piker went and tweeted it. It was like, oh, we're cooked. And that's how you know it's bad.
I know. Just, like,
I needed to just stop for like 2 seconds and just, you know, let me watch my little coloring videos and nobody talk to me. And then I'm going to start coloring. So.
I like that one. Okay, I'm going to end on mine, which is actually quite Ayana-coded. So, I am worried, guys. I'm worried because the streets are saying that Club Chalamet might be defecting because... the sigh.
<That's> so funny.
Because she went to this FYC event and she met Gabriel LaBelle, who's in the Saturday Night SNL movie. And I'm so serious... Club Chalamet, if you're listening, please don't do that. Please do not jump on the Gabrielle train. He doesn't have the juice. Therefore, to refocus our efforts, to unionize, to bring back our most loyal followers, Club Chalamet, I don't want you to start a podcast. I want you to start a Twitch stream, okay? I want you to Hassan Piker it. I want 8 hours every single day, you in front of that camera, and I want you to talk about anything. I want to know what you had for breakfast. I want to know what type of walk you had today. I want to know what you think about Pods of America. I just think that this woman, she has the hold of a century on the cultural consciousness and a genuinely beautiful niche demographic of like 20 to 29 year old women. And I just think that like she has an audience, aka me, because my biggest problem in life is that sometimes I have like a Zoom meeting in 15 minutes and I'm like, oh, like I don't have enough time to go buy a coffee, but I can't like start a new episode of Modern Family. What do I do? Therefore, I think I should check in on Club Chalamet's 8-hour Twitch. And I'm just like thinking like she could have Taylor Lorenz on. She could have Olivia Nuzzi on. She could have Timmy's former co-workers, aka Matthew Olivia McConaughey Nuzzi? On. I just think that Club Chalamet Twitch stream will be 2025's biggest Oscar campaign stop, and the stop is at her house.
Wow. You know that she does a Twitch stream that will benefit her more than you know.
Hey! More than you can imagine!
I would like to argue that I think Club Chalamet, people think she's obsessed with Timmy in one way. I think if he ever came to her house, she would have a cup of warm tea ready. Sofa would be nice and soft, and they would just sit and watch videos of Timmy together.
You think
and
so?
They would laugh.
You think that 45 or however old this woman is, she is you know, an older woman who is obsessed with this 27-year-old twink. That's a well woman. I'm a little concerned.
I was gonna ask, is there something in the tea? Like, are we in a trap
That's
situation?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
Ayana, are you somehow there? Like, what's happening? What's the production?
I will never be there. I don't know the day I'm gonna meet Timothée Chalamet, but. It's going to be a meet cute. I don't want to meet him like officially. I want us to run into each other in Paris at a coffee shop. And I'm reading a book, something like very wordy and smart. And he's just like, oh, I read that a year ago. How are you? And I'm like, I'm okay, but I have to leave right now. because I'm going on set for some random movie that you've never heard of, that your main competition booked the lead of instead of you. So he's going to feel jealous and rage and want to know who I am, but I'm going to run off. And then I'm going to leave the book. But the book happens to have my name and my phone number because the book is important to me. So he's going to return it. And that's our
Ayana, you have to write this fan fiction and put it on AO3 right now, please. I'm waiting for it. You have this all written down in your journal somewhere. I know.
It's coming. 2026. And then it's going to become a Tubi film. Just wait.
Tubi film.
Okay, bidding war between Tubi and movie. Oh my God. I executive produce? Okay, question mark?
Hey, and Roku's going to throw their hat in the ring too. Roku loves a weird movie. I know the Weird Owl one was.
I know. And next thing you know, 2026 Oscar contender Roku. There you go. We're up. FYC events. Here we come. Okay, that's the show. I want to thank Ayana Ishmael and Moises Mendez II for joining me on today's episode. You can find Ayana's work at teenvogue.com, and you can find Moises on Twitter at Moises Fenty. We'll be back in your feed on Wednesday, so definitely subscribe. That way, you never miss an episode. Leave us a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify, and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @icymi_pod, and you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. ICYMI is produced by Alexander Boti and me, Candace Lim. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's vice president of audio. See you online or offline.
Hey, Slate listener, this is Mary Harris from over at What Next, Slate's daily news podcast. I'm here to remind you that at Slate, we are here to help you make sense of what comes next. With Slate Plus, you'll get unlimited access to the tools you need to navigate this moment. That includes exclusive episodes of Amicus, which unpacks the legal battles shaping our future, and Political Gabfest, where the biggest questions about our political landscape are tackled with depth and a sense of humor. Plus, you'll get ad-free listening across all your favorite Slate podcasts, including my show, What Next, where I connect the dots on the day's headlines. It's really easy to join. Subscribe to Slate Plus directly in the Apple Podcasts app or on Spotify. You can also visit slate.com/podcastplus to get access wherever you listen. We've been here before. We can make sense of what comes next together.